You know, it's interesting that Trump wages economic warfare on other countries using tariffs to cause them to pay more when they send products to the United States, which of course only ends up as higher taxes on the American people because the consumer ultimately pays the tariffs. But China does something very different, far more clever. China innovates strategically in a way that undermines the outdated U.S. industries. And I have three examples of that I want to share with you. So let's start with automobiles. So the EV industry in China is the world's leading EV. Well, I mean, there are three companies in China. There's BYD, there's CATL, and there's FAW. And they're the top three really in the world. And nobody else is even close. And each one of these three have also made incredible leaps forward in battery technology. For example, FAW just announced its lithium-rich manganese semi-solid-state batteries, which gives EVs a range of up to 1,000 kilometers. I mean, it's extraordinary. And also, of course, CATL and BYD, which stands for Build Your Dreams, apparently, they use lithium iron phosphate batteries, but they're also working on sodium ion batteries. In fact, they've announced production plans for those batteries, and those are game changers for a number of reasons that I will discuss here. So, the easiest way to bankrupt the U.S. auto industry and to thereby strangle domestic industrial production in the United States is simply to outproduce U.S. car companies with vastly superior vehicles at lower prices. And so what does the U.S. do? The U.S. blocks Chinese vehicle imports as a form of protectionism to protect the U.S. auto industry. Now, I understand the arguments of that. I do. The arguments are, well, we need to protect U.S. jobs. We need to protect U.S. know-how. We need to have factories that can build something. Yeah, I get it. But the thing is, Canada's doing deals with China, and so is Mexico. And sooner or later, all these far superior and lower cost EVs are going to flood into America from other vectors, even if they're not directly imported. And even if those numbers themselves aren't hugely impressive, sooner or later the American people are going to realize, hey, we're driving junk vehicles here. How come everybody else in the world has amazing vehicle technology and 1,000 mile range or 1,000 kilometer range, and they can charge their vehicles and 8 minutes. They don't have to buy gas ever again. What's going on? How come we don't have vehicles like that? You know, the American people are going to start asking questions. It's kind of like the Soviet Union back in the 1970s and 1980s. You could only get Soviet-made vehicles while the Western world was innovating amazing new vehicle technology from companies like Ford, which was innovating back then, and Toyota and Nissan, etc. But if you lived in the Soviet Union in the 1980s, you only got to drive sucky Soviet cars. They were the worst. You know, state-run automobiles, right? Well, that's how America is now. Essentially, the U.S. auto industry is state-funded, or will be shortly, because Ford will go bankrupt without a U.S. government bailout. So it's going to be state-funded automobile manufacturing that makes crappy cars that doesn't have good battery technology, doesn't have good ergonomics, and makes cars that are expensive, that are double or triple the costs of what they would be if China were allowed to sell us their vehicles. So that's just the reality of where we are. But China is going to keep leapfrogging the U.S. automobile industry with amazing vehicles, amazing battery technology, amazing range, and ultimately full self-driving vehicles that will probably eclipse Tesla, is my guess, although that could take a couple of years. Okay, the next area is AI technology. So the United States arguably was the innovation hub of AI, coming out of Stanford and MIT, and then the whole San Francisco scene, and then OpenAI, etc. And then, Google and Microsoft, everybody jumped on board. Well, I guess Meta, Facebook was ahead of the game for a while, not anymore. But the United States was the real birthplace of today's AI technology. But China figured out how to do it better. They have more engineers, and they're willing to publish science papers and share knowledge and information, whereas the United States is no longer willing to do that. U.S. companies don't publish, and they don't open source any longer. So all the best models now that are open source are coming out of China. And with Qwen 3.5 just released and DeepSeek version 4 about to be released, and others like Kimi K2, what else? Moonshot AI, there's a bunch out of China that are very good. The Chinese open source models are now on par with US closed source models. And they're available for free. So you can download the models, you can run them on your own hardware, or you can use them through APIs on hosted server infrastructure. And as a result, I mean, this is genius from China's point of view, because this completely undermines the revenue sources for Google and OpenAI and whoever else is in the US market trying to sell inference or trying to license models. So China's models allow you to run inference at a fraction of the cost of what you would pay to access models like OpenAI or even Claude Code through Anthropic, which I use. I'm a fan of Claude Code. I use Opus 4.6. It's amazing, but it's also really expensive. And if you're doing a lot of projects and you're burning a lot of tokens, you're going to pay a lot of money there. China comes along and says, hey, how about free? You know, how about free? Now, there's nothing yet, to my knowledge, that beats Claude Code for coding, but the rumor is that DeepSeek version 4 will beat Claude Code on the SWE benchmark, but we'll see. Maybe that's just a rumor. Nevertheless, China isn't far behind, and free is a good price. So, bottom line, this is the easiest way for China to establish itself as the world standard for AI models to be adopted everywhere across the whole planet, while depriving the US AI companies of revenue streams. And that's why OpenAI is trying to figure out how to put advertising into their AI answers, which is a silly idea. You know, it's like that scene out of the Truman Show. How did that go? Where the Truman character was trying to be serious, like, what's going on? You know, the something's not right with the world. And then the woman, I forgot her name in the movie, she turns around, have you tried Coca's? And like, Coco Mocha, delicious cocoa drink. And the Truman Show, you know, the Truman character is like, what are you talking about? We're not talking about cocoa. That's the way it's going to be using OpenAI. You're going to ask the question like, you know, tell me the three most important laws of physics. And it's going to answer with the three laws. By the way, would you like a Bud Light? You know, what are you talking about? So advertising is not going to work in the answers. People don't want that. So OpenAI doesn't really have a revenue model. Actually, Anthropic has the best revenue model, which is charging by the token to write code, because that has commercial value. OpenAI, I guess, is just going to end up licensing everything to the Pentagon to make, you know, kamikaze drones and other killer weapons, things like that. All right, so that's the second technology, is AI tech. The third tech is actually something I mentioned earlier. It's battery technology, but in this context, I'm not talking about batteries for the auto industry, but rather batteries for grid shifting. That is, solar farms, they need a way to shift the energy that they generate into, you know, the nighttime, obviously, or rainy days or cloudy days or what have you, because obviously solar doesn't work all the time. And the lack of good battery technology that was reliable and that could cycle many, many thousands of times for at least 10 years of service, that has not existed until now. So now, because of these companies, these car companies, which are also battery companies in China, BYD and CATL in particular, they are rolling out batteries now that you'll see within the next year, probably, that will revolutionize grid storage or grid shifting. And not only do they change the economics of the affordability of solar panels or solar power in general, But they also last an incredibly long amount of time, and they can be engineered with no moving parts, so no pumps and no fans, even in hot climates. And they work in a much wider range of ambient temperatures, including below freezing temperatures. Well below freezing. I mean, some of them go to minus 20 C, okay? So that's cold. And by doing this, what U.S. industry is China undermining effectively? The fossil fuel industry. Oil and gas. Because you see, solar power competes with oil and gas. Because a lot of gas would be used to power data centers. You know, the gas drives the turbines, and the turbines generate electricity. But if you just do it with solar and grid-shifting batteries that are economically feasible, then you don't need any fossil fuels. And so China would be able to effectively strongly undermine the value of fossil fuels in the United States simply by making better batteries available on a large scale. So isn't it interesting that all three of these technologies are also strategies for a kind of economic warfare, but they rely on innovation, whereas Trump's economic warfare relies on strangulation, you know, tariffs, and charging people more money and cutting off supply chains. China's economic warfare relies on abundance and manufacturing and innovation and providing products that solve problems, thereby rendering other industries obsolete. So it's a key difference. You know, Trump wants to actually hold us back and keep us in the 1990s. China is trying to push the whole world into a future with better technology, better robots, better drones, better batteries, better EVs, etc. And the countries that embrace, and better AI, the countries that embrace that technology are going to experience huge economic benefits. And the companies that block that technology are going to, they're going to be on a path of their own economic demise. You know, like it or not, this is the century of Chinese dominance. They're dominant in industrialization, dominant in technology, dominant in just raw output, and many other areas. Dominant in the sciences as well. And if you cut off China from your country, then your country will be left in the past. And that's what Trump is doing. And so as Americans, we are not getting the benefits of human advancement that we deserve, because our president wants to be a bully against China and Russia and Iran and all these other countries, when what he should be doing is engaging in fair trade, something that, you know, the U.S. empire loves to talk about. Oh, we support fair trade, but you don't really, do you? You don't support fair trade. You support weaponizing trade restrictions against both your enemies and your allies. And the people that suffer from that are the American people. In effect, the American people are living under economic sanctions. It's just that those sanctions have been inflicted against us by our own president. Whereas the Russians were living under sanctions, and Cuba is living under sanctions, and Iran living under sanctions, inflicted by a foreign power, that would be us, the United States. But we, the American people, we're living under sanctions inflicted by our own government on us, depriving us of access to technology that we need to be more abundant, to improve our lives, to lower the cost of transportation, to lower the cost of solar energy production, etc., to lower the cost of compute. So that's the reality of where we are right now. And I say, you know, drop the tariffs, drop the bully act, drop the threatening of every country in the world, and instead, we need to recalibrate America's relationships with the other countries around the world and start treating other countries as equals instead of subjects. And we need to actually support fair and free trade. And the only way we can compete in that environment is if we invest in our own education reform, our own domestic innovation, and stop dumbing people down with fake news media and a broken education system and a bunch of propaganda from the White House. So will this ever change in America? I doubt it. We're probably headed for the end of the empire. And out of that, who knows what will come. But I don't think the United States of America changes course at all. I think it nosedives into the trash heap of history. And then out of that, those of us who want to actually create a better future for each other, we will build something better. And, you know, we're going to use all these technologies to do it. We're going to use AI. We're going to use EVs. We're going to use battery technology. We're going to use, I mean, and yeah, we'll use fossil fuels too. We'll use all that. Whatever resources we have, we're going to put them to work. And we're going to have a merit-based system, get rid of all the radical left-wing wokeism nonsense. And this is how we can truly make America great again, or resurrect America from its ashes. Probably that's more likely. That's the future that I want to help create, is a future that we deserve, instead of the future that we're being handed by the, you know, the Epstein administration right now. So keep all this in mind, and thank you for listening. You can follow my work at naturalnews.com, and you can use my own AI engines, such as our deep research engine, at brightanswers.ai, or you can use our book creation engine at brightlearn.ai, and you can follow all my videos and interviews, and also upcoming AI avatar videos, at brightvideos.com. So thank you for listening. Take care.
Pink Himalayan salt, one of the purest and healthiest salts on Earth. Non-GMO, certified kosher, lab tested and trusted. Shop at healthrangerstore.com.